I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
evil. New details this morning in a Brooklyn subway shooting. Police now searching for a woman they believe was involved in a fight that led to that shooting. Police say a 36-year-old man is in critical condition after he was shot with his own gun on the A train. One man is in custody.
Tonight, 33-year-old Irvin Alfaro Lopez remains in the Montgomery County Jail without bond.
Accused of abusing several children in Montgomery County, Maryland. Tonight, immigration officials tell us he was never supposed to be in the United States in the first place, and he had already been deported twice.
People living in Texas can no longer access videos on Pornhub. The popular adult entertainment website cut off access to the state over an objection to its age verification law.
Countdown clock had begun. We are supposed to be just under 2 weeks before the first ever criminal trial of an ex-president. Prosecutors at the Manhattan District Attorney's Office now say they are open to a delay in order to let Donald Trump's attorneys review a batch of records they just received yesterday.
In the latest legal blow for former President Trump, a federal judge denied his request to throw out criminal charges alleging he hoarded classified documents.
We have a decision from Judge Scott McAfee of the Fulton County Superior Court, and a 23-page decision this morning. He finds that there is not an actual conflict of interest that was proven by the defendants here, but he also finds that there's significant appearance of impropriety that infects the entire current structure of the prosecution team. And therefore, he gives Fannie Willis a choice. She can either choose to remove herself and her entire office from the prosecution of this case, or she can determine that Nathan Wade, the special assistant district attorney who has been helming the leadership of this case, can himself be removed from the case, which would allow her and the remainder of the Fulton County District Attorney's Office to go forward. Mika, that's a victory for Fannie Willis here.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are live from Palm Beach here in Florida. Today is the Ides of March 2024. That means March 15th, Anno Domini. Today, in 44 BC, Julius Caesar was stabbed to death, murdered, and betrayed by those in the Roman Senate, I almost said the U.S. Senate, the Roman Senate that were closest to him, like Brutus and others, betrayed him. Dante would later place Brutus at the lowest center, the lowest circle of hell, for betraying his friend. And that is where people who commit betrayal and betray their friends belong, the lowest circle of the deadliest sin, of the seven deadly sins, betrayal. But I want to go through this news today, because this is actually, it actually is fitting that this all happens on the Ides of March, because you see, the delays, and Libby Emmons is in here in the comments, the delays alone on these cases will prevent any of them being decided before the election. This is a massive win. Fannie Willis, your case is being delayed. A huge body blow, because remember, we were told that these cases were the end, they were the death knell for Trump, that somebody else was going to come in, that he was going to be the new nominee or she was going to be the new nominee, that nobody would vote for Trump because of the cases, when it turns out they've all fallen apart. I told you yesterday, they're falling apart. It is not because Trump is lucky, it's because he is favored. It is because he has favor. Deal with it, okay? Just deal with it. But we're going to walk through these findings. The Fannie Willis case will be delayed. Remember, the judge already stripped the phone call charge. That's gone. But we're also going to get into, and we have Mike Davis joining us for the hour, this Alvin Bragg case, which nobody's talking about in the wake of the Fannie Willis situation. And we're going to go through some of the documentation here by the judge, because we do need to understand that the judge's language provides a lot of room for what? A lot of room for dismissal on appeal. We're going to get into that with Davis. But also, don't forget, don't overlook that Alvin Bragg himself just requested a delay of at least a full month up there in Manhattan. Why did that happen? That case was supposed to begin in about a week and a half from today. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the SDNY just released 73,000 documents, all pertaining to why they didn't bring the case in the federal investigation last year. And what does it pertain to? The credibility of their chief witnesses, Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. When Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels are the ones that you're resting your entire case on, it feels like your case might be on a little bit of thin ice. That's a snowball's chance in hell that this thing is going to go forward, that it's going to be successful, that it's going to knock Trump out. And folks, that means a clear path all the way straight forward to November 5th. You must be ready, because we've got a lot of work to do. There's a lot that's going to come. There will be provocations and more. But stick it here, Human Events Daily. We're going to go through it all together.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode. And we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Good. I rolled with Bloods. And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Folks, the most important election in the history of the United States is just a few short months away. Today's Human Events Daily sponsor, Patriot Mobile, wants to celebrate with a special offer. Just in case you haven't made the switch yet, until March 31st, you can get a free service, a free month of service, when you switch to Patriot Mobile. To take advantage of this unprecedented offer, all you have to do is go to patriotmobile.com/poso and use promo code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message just like we all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes the switch easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The team over there will help you find the best plan for all your needs, so you get a free month of service today. PatriotMobile.com/POSO. Get a free month of service when you use promo code SPRING24. PatriotMobile.com/POSO. PatriotMobile.com/POSO. Now, a lot of people are coming at me saying, hey, whoa, hold on. Why is it that you say they're falling apart when the judge didn't boot Fannie Willis off the case? And I said, well, guys, hold on. This judge was never going to disqualify Fannie Willis from the case, okay? That was not in the cards. This is a guy who worked for her. And keep in mind, you're dealing with, and I'm just going to say it, and I'll be very careful when I say this, so please do not take me out of context, the Southern managerial class of male is one of the most timid, one of the most cowardly, one of the most terrified examples of the managerial class in the entire country. Do you really think this guy, that this was the guy that was going to throw her off the case? No way. He doesn't have it in his DNA. He doesn't have it in his mindset. He doesn't have the will to power to see the rule of law be done. We saw the opposite, by the way, with that northern judge up in Wisconsin that Kyle Rittenhouse had, Judge Schroeder, who actually did believe in something called the rule of law. Now, you were never going to see this happen down there in the South, definitely not from the professional managerial class of Southern male. Mike Davis joins us now. Mike, do you get what I'm saying when I talk about that, when the Southern managerial class male? Do you understand what I mean?
Jack, I think you're being a lot more diplomatic than I would be. I think that white Southern male Republicans are the biggest cowards on the planet.
Well, I mean, come on. It's there. I would say outside of like the professional managerial class, because look, I got a lot of Southerners that I think are wonderful. South Carolina's full of them, Georgia's full of them, North Carolina, et cetera, all over the South. But there's something about like the lawyer class, the managerial class, the political class. There are just, it's like, wait, where are the regular Southerners? It just doesn't translate over. And that being said, I did say that I would be nice to people, at least on the show or on Twitter, for the rest of Lent. So, you know, keep in mind that I'm kind of having to stick to my guns on that one.
Well, I would say this: I'm also going through Lent. I'm just not as good of a Catholic as you are, Jack. But I would, you know, it's just inexcusable. Look, if this judge followed the facts, the overwhelming facts, and followed the clear law, there's no question that Fulton County DA Fannie Willis should be disqualified from this case, along with her entire office, along with Nathan Wade. There was an actual conflict of interest. The actual conflict of interest was that Fannie Willis had an illegal financial stake in a criminal prosecution. You don't need to prove prejudice to the defendants. That is presumed. And she had an illegal financial stake when she hired her dumb, unqualified secret boyfriend, Nathan Wade. She paid him $250 an hour, $700,000 in counting, to bring these bogus charges against Trump and 18 others. He colluded with the Biden White House, including the White House counsel. He even billed 24 hours of his time for one day. And then Nathan Wade took his new girlfriend, Fannie Willis, on these lavish trips to the Caribbean, to Napa, to Belize. Now, those are illegal kickbacks. She came up with this BS story that her Black Panther father taught his Black Panther cub, Fannie Willis, to stash 6 months of cash around the house like a prostitute or a drug dealer. And that's how she had cash laying around the house. She reimbursed Nathan Wade with cash. She doesn't explain, though, how she refilled her cash stash around the house after she supposedly reimbursed Nathan Wade these thousands of dollars that she paid for. You know, she went Dutch on these trips. It's total BS.
And so, Mike, with this ruling, it's very interesting to me that when I read through it, it's incredible that he won't come through and actually disqualify her, but he does have these pretty scathing comments where he says there's an odor of mendacity, the unprofessional manner, casting racial aspersions, talking about that speech at the church that she gave. I mean, right here, I'm just reading directly from it. The finding is by no means an indication that the court condones this tremendous lapse in judgment or the unprofessional manner of the district attorney's testimony during the evidentiary hearing. Rather, it is the undersigned's opinion that Georgia law does not permit the finding of an actual conflict for simply making bad choices, even repeatedly, and it is the trial court's duty to confine itself to the relevant issues in applicable law. So when he's saying it's the trial, he's acting like he's bound by the rules, but at the same time, saying that he thinks there's a problem here. A lot of people have pointed out he might be inviting an appeals court to come in, might be inviting the state bar to come in. Is this a decision that, and I want to ask you this on a process question, is this a decision that President Trump's team can appeal immediately, or do they have to wait until the trial is concluded?
Generally, you have to wait, but you can certify the appeal, and if the judges agree to take it immediately, you can. This might be the perfect case to take this. It is so clear that he had an that Fannie Willis had an actual conflict by this illegal financial stake. This judge believed her black, or pretended to believe her Black Panther father cash stash story. He basically went out of his way to believe everything Fannie said and then not believe things that were against Fannie. Look, if he followed the facts, if he followed the law, there's no question that Fannie and her office should be disqualified. But he has an election, and he now has a Democrat challenger, and he has Fannie Willis and her Democrat machine in Fulton County who are going to run him off the bench if he disqualifies Fannie Willis and her office from this case.
And so this all kind of feeds together because, as we've talked about for a long time, there's the strategy, of course, to win the case in court, but the other situation that's going on is the fact of the clock. Does this, in your view, push this case out beyond November 5th?
It would be very, very hard for Fannie Willis, even if she decides to stay on this case and kick her boyfriend off the case, it would be very hard for them to get a trial before the election. And so that's the whole point of this, is this is a lawfare and it's election interference. And if she's not going to get a trial before the election, I don't think the Democrats are going to stick behind this case, because, look, if this is a car race, Fannie Willis is the most beat up, wrecked, used car imaginable that the Democrats are using to try to beat the clock to election day.
It's so amazing to me that they thought that they could go in with all these ridiculous charges, with these ridiculous cases, that this would work. And so now she's got to make the decision. Either she recuses herself and Wade stays, or she, which I think everyone thinks is the most likely, is that she fires Wade and then keeps herself. You might go so far as to say there's a Willis, but there's not a Wade.
Well, maybe she'll fire her.
A little Friday pun there.
She'll fire her boyfriend, Nathan Wade. She's gotten all the trips she can out of him, and she'll bring in a new boyfriend who will take her on new places around the world where she's never been. And, you know, then she can say that she followed her Black Panther father's advice and kept cash stashed around the house. And she can tell Judge McAfee, don't worry about it, Judge. I reimbursed him with cash like my old boyfriend, Nathan Wade. Nothing to see here.
And it's truly amazing to me when I look at all of this. So going forward then, which do you think takes place first? Do you think that the firing takes place first, the appeal? Will all of this kind of happen concurrently? I mean, even still, as it stands, just walk me through the state of play as it stands right now with the Fannie Willis case.
Well, I think what needs to happen immediately is that, if Fannie Willis tries to appeal this decision or tries to appeal the Judge McAfee's decision to throw out six of the 41 charges, and they were just kind of like low-hanging fruit, dumb, incomprehensible charges that don't really move the ball. If she appeals that, that's really going to delay this case. I think her goal is still going to be to try this case before the election. So I think she's going to push the pedal to the metal and try to move forward quickly. So I think that she fires Nathan Wade immediately, and she tries to move forward as quickly as she can. I think that the defendants in this case should try to seek interlocutory appeal on this decision by McAfee, Judge McAfee, not to disqualify Fannie Willis and her office. I think it's such a strong case. Generally, appellate courts don't take interlocutory appeal, meaning they don't stop the trial court proceedings to take appeals on a piecemeal basis. They wait till the end of the trial to take all the appeals at once. This is such an egregious case that the defendants may be able to get interlocutory appeal here.
So in that interlocutory appeal, as you say, it may actually pause the machinations of the case immediately.
Yes, it could. Look, I think it's going to be very, very difficult for Fannie Willis to get this case started before the election. I think she'll try. She'll do everything she can to do it. But look, you even see the National Lawfare Democrats, like Andrew Weissman, saying cut bait on Fannie Willis. She is damaged goods. She is a wrecked, used car. She's not the right vehicle for the Democrats to run their lawfare against Trump. And so
it's a lemon. This car is a lemon.
This car is a lemon.
This car is a lemon. It was a bad investment.
This is a politically dead.
Politically dead. You've got the law of unintended consequences. You've got toxic investments. All of that going after this. Stay tuned. Right back. Mike Davis walking us through these cases. We're going to talk about New York next.
Talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, I got to tell you something. I like knowing exactly where my food comes from. And with our sponsor for today's episode, Moinkbox, that is from the family farms all across this country. You can help save those family farms and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moink runs their business from a town of 97 people in Newark, Missouri, and they're helping save our tradition, our values, and helping save rural America with every order. Moink delivers grass-fed, grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, salmon fillets, and the best bacon. Look, I love this stuff. Friday in Lent, so can't touch it today, but tomorrow you know I'm going to get in there. Support those American farmers by signing up at moinkbox.com/poso right now, and the Human Events audience will get free bacon for a full year. That's right, 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time only, spelled moinkbox.com/poso. That's moinkbox.com/poso. Mike Davis, now everybody's paying attention to the Fannie Willis ruling, but I keep telling these people that there's another case that had originally been scheduled for March 24th or March 25th. So almost 1 week's time, about a week and a half from today, was supposed to kick off. And this was in New York City. This was the Stormy Daniels case up there, Alvin Bragg, the very first one, the very first indictment. But then all of a sudden, and because the Fannie Willis news has been so deafening, that people are really overlooking the fact that Alvin Bragg all of a sudden just requested a delay in his own case. You were the one who brought the case, Alvin. Why are you all of a sudden at the very last minute slamming on the brakes and saying that we need to have a delay? What's going on? Why is Alvin Bragg so freaked out right now?
So remember, the Democrats' lawfare includes four criminal indictments. There is the Jack Smith case in Mar-a-Lago for his presidential records. Trump's allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act. There's Jack Smith's January 6th case in D.C. that's up at the Supreme Court right now on presidential immunity. There's the Georgia case that Fannie Willis completely screwed up. And then there's the Alvin Bragg case. There's George Soros funded Manhattan DA who charged Trump for the non-crime of settling a nuisance claim and tried to take those what are bookkeeping violations and trying to transform them into felony counts against President Trump. They used a bogus legal theory to do this, a bogus legal theory that was passed over by the prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, the prior Manhattan U.S. Attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and then Alvin Bragg himself until Matthew Colangelo got sent from the Biden Justice Department, a top political appointee in the Biden Justice Department, to bring this zombie case. This Alvin Bragg case is the weakest, dumbest case of the four. It is, it's like during the Kavanaugh confirmation when Michael Avenatti and Julie Swetnick bursted onto the scene and ruined the Democrats' lawfare with their just utterly absurd allegations against Kavanaugh. Alvin Bragg's case is a similar case where it's just utterly stupid. Even the Democrats know it's stupid. So the facts that Alvin Bragg is saying, oh, we requested, tens of thousands of documents from the Biden Justice Department over a year ago. Magically, they just turned over these documents, and we need to go through these documents, so we need to delay this case. I think they are trying to torpedo their own case here because I don't think that they want to start this Democrat lawfare and election interference with this utterly stupid case by Alvin Bragg.
Well, and so there's a huge angle on this as well where, I mean, take even Stormy Daniels and Michael Cohen aside for a second. This, and it probably is pertaining to them, though, this was the investigation, these 73,000 documents, not all of which have been turned over. I think only about half of them or just under half of them, 31,000 have been turned over now. With the 73,000 total that are coming out, this pertains to the investigation that the Southern District of New York and that U.S. attorney for the SDNY, who is normally, by the way, this is a guy who's going after, like, James O'Keefe. This is the guy who goes after everybody if you've got, you know, an R next to your name. Even they said this case was a clunker, and they passed on it before Alvin Bragg got in. So it stands to reason that something in these 73,000 pages is either a poison pill for the case, or, as you say, it just speaks to the fact that there's no real chance that anybody in this case is going to get it across the finish line. So something in there has got Alvin Bragg scared about bringing this case to trial.
I don't think Alvin Bragg ever wanted to bring this case to trial. He declined to bring this case to trial before. I think he was forced to bring this case to trial by President Biden in the Biden White House and the Biden Justice Department, because that's why Matthew Colangelo got sent to Alvin Bragg's office to resurrect this zombie case that the prior Manhattan DA, the U.S. attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself declined to prosecute. This is part of Biden's lawfare against President Trump. Biden has his fingerprints on every single one of these four criminal prosecutions, whether it's Matthew Colangelo with Bragg, whether it's Jonathan Sue, President Biden's deputy White House counsel who waived Trump's claim of executive privilege on behalf of Biden, which led to the Mar-a-Lago raid for presidential records Trump's allowed to have under the Presidential Records Act, which led to Jack Smith's indictment for that, which led to Jack Smith's indictments for the for January 6th, which is not a crime. It's not a crime to object to a presidential election. It's allowed by the Electoral Count Act of 1887. It's allowed by the First Amendment. Democrats aren't in prison for objecting to Republican wins in 68, 2000, 2004, and 2016. And you also have Biden's fingerprints on Fannie Willis's prosecution. Nathan Wade billed his time to meet with the Biden White House, including the Biden White House counsel, before Fannie Willis brought her indictment against Trump. This is all Democrat lawfare. It's all run by Biden and the Biden White House and the Biden Justice Department.
This is very clear. Now, you mentioned the documents case, the Presidential Records Act. We did get the ruling in that as it came out. Now, my understanding of it was essentially that President Trump's team was trying to get the case completely thrown out under the Presidential Records Act. However, it seems like Judge Cannon wants to put that question before the jury rather than making the decision herself. Is that the best way to look at it, or is there something else there?
Yes. What she's saying is she can fix any vagueness with the Espionage Act through jury instructions. Look, people are going, the left is going crazy over Judge Cannon. She is a very tough, fair judge, and she's going to do what every judge is supposed to do, which is protect the criminal defendant through the process, but she's not going to carry Trump's water. And the people who think she's going to carry Trump's water just got an example when she denied Trump's motion to dismiss. She's going to do her job as a judge, and she's not a political activist.
Well, and of course, you know, you're also dealing with someone who we are told, by the way, in a judge or in any judge, who is supposed to give the defendant the benefit of the doubt. Because the last time I checked, the burden is supposed to be on the state. The burden is supposed to be on the Jack Smiths and the Alvin Braggs and the Fannie Willises. And so when it comes down to any defendant, they have the right under our system to question all of these things. A little thing that the founders used to call, what was that phrase again? Oh, right, due process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jack, federal judges are supposed to uphold the Constitution, and the Constitution provides criminal defendants, not the government, constitutional rights. It's the criminal defendant who has the right to a fair, public, and speedy trial, not the government. So Judge Cannon is doing her job in making sure that President Trump has a fair, public, and speedy trial. And it's not her job is not to carry the water for the Democrats. Her job is not to carry the water for Trump. Her job is to uphold the Constitution.
So what is the best way forward for Trump here? Because it seems as though they are going to attempt to try to get at least one of these to trial before the election. I know they're really hoping for this. Let me ask you this way, actually. I'll change my question up a little bit. Which case do you think would, if any at this point, have the best chance of going to trial before the election?
Well, Alvin Bragg's case clearly had the best trial. It's the worst case for the Democrats, but that case should have gone to trial. And actually, that, frankly, you know, I think that would have propelled Trump back into the White House by several points, because it's such a laughably stupid case. And guess what? The Democrats know it's a laughably stupid case, because now they're trying to delay that trial, right? So that's the case that could have gone to trial. Fannie Willis's case could have gone to trial, but it got gummed up with Fannie Willis's misconduct with her boyfriend down in Georgia, with their illegal financial stake in this case. I think that you might see Fannie Willis trying to put the pedal to the metal on her used, broken car to try to get that case to trial before the election. But that case may not even get to trial before the election. I don't think any of these cases will get to trial before the election.
And this is really incredible. This is something, I just want to go back, I have to keep saying this, that we were told for a year, Mike, and a full year, that these cases would destroy Trump's candidacy, that he was done, he was DOA, that we needed to find a new standard bearer, and now they're all completely falling apart. I mean, just walk me through what the sense was in D.C. about a year ago.
Oh, I remember 2 years ago, Jack, when I was one of the the only lawyers in America who would come on your show and other shows defending Trump after the Mar-a-Lago.
Literally just you.
Yeah, I mean, it was, but you know what? It was the Article 3 Project and over 3,000 media hits we've done supporting and defending Trump, the constant opinion pieces, the constant social media, back and forth. We have defended Trump since day one, and we've been pretty successful in changing public perception on this Democrat lawfare and election interference. And now the Democrats' house of cards is falling apart. Now they're going to have to try to win the election the old-fashioned way by convincing American people on November 5th that their candidate's the best, instead of having Democrat prosecutors and Democrat attorneys and Democrat judges and Democrat juries and Democrat hellholes like New York, D.C., and Atlanta decide the election for the American people.
This is why everybody needs to support the Article 3 Project. You've got to get involved with these guys. They are the ones who stand tall when it matters. Mike, we've got a break. Can you hold for one more, or do you have to bounce? Do you have a hard out?
I can hold for you, Jack, of course.
Let's hold, all right, because I want to get into the last question, presidential immunity. This is very important. It's impacting a number of the cases. We have to get into it. The Supreme Court is coming down. Mike Davis, so gracious for this time for us here, Human Events Daily.
Jack. Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack.
Thank you.
What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
Jack Sobeck live, West Palm Beach, Florida, down here on business. I promise I'm here on business. Mike Davis is our guest. Mike, I've got to ask you, so gracious, by the way, Article 3 Project, everything that you've done, thousands and thousands of media hits. You were the only guy. You took so much incoming for standing up for President Trump on day one to say that these charges were an absolute joke, and they are an absolute joke. Now I've got to ask you, though, because you've been giving us the foreshadowing on how all of this has broken out and how all of this has played out. Supreme Court, presidential immunity. Now Trump is not just asking for presidential immunity in January 6th. They're also bringing, invoking presidential immunity as pertains to the Alvin Bragg case. Walk me through how presidential immunity affects these cases and what you think the Supreme Court does next, as you know better than anybody else.
So members of Congress are immune from criminal and civil prosecution for their official acts. So are federal judges. Right now, only the president of the United States is only immune from civil prosecution based upon the Nixon case from 40 years ago, because we've never had a former president criminally charged. And so now the Supreme Court is going to have to decide whether the president of the United States is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts, not his personal acts, his official acts, just like members of Congress and just like federal judges. This is a hugely important case. The Supreme Court is going to hear this case at the end of April. They'll probably have a decision by the end of June, and where I think the Supreme Court is going to hold, and this should not shock people, that yes, the president of the United States, any president of the United States, is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts, just like judges, just like members of Congress. I think the Supreme Court will remand this case back down to D.C. Obama Judge Tanya Shutkin to hold an evidentiary hearing to figure out what Jack Smith in D.C. or Alvin Bragg in New York or Fannie Willis in Georgia, what they've alleged in their factual predicates for what are presidential acts. For example, Jack Smith alleged that Trump was contemplating firing his acting attorney general after the election. Well, that's clearly a presidential act. He would clearly be immune from that versus what's in his personal capacity. And so once that's decided, this will get remanded. I think there's going to be an evidentiary hearing. And then a lot of this case is going to be kicked against Trump on the January 6th case in D.C. And then we'll see what's left for trial. But the bottom line is, I don't think these cases are going to get to trial before the presidential election. And after the election, after President Trump wins, his acting attorney general will almost certainly dismiss these cases with prejudice in these federal cases and make them go away. And then Governor Kemp down in Georgia is going to have to decide whether he's going to allow this Fannie Willis criminal prosecution to proceed against the sitting president of the United States.
Yeah, a lot of questions for Governor Kemp and a lot of questions for AG Carr down there, because they could have done this to begin with, but we'll see about that. As far as the ruling on presidential immunity, one of the things that I've heard is that essentially the court will not necessarily, the Supreme Court now, will not necessarily rule one way or the other on the merits of this case specifically, but instead come up with a kind of test for what is or isn't a presidential act and then send it back to the trial court. Do you think that's the case? Or because of this 9-0 ruling that we had recently, do you think that we might see another sweeping kind of ruling like that?
I think that you're absolutely right that the Supreme Court is just going to establish that the president of the United States, like members of Congress, like federal judges, is immune from criminal prosecution for his official acts, period. That's it. Then they remand it down to Obama Judge Shutkin for the evidentiary hearing, and she's going to have to take the first crack at what did President Trump allegedly do that was in his personal capacity, what did President Trump allegedly do as president of the United States in his official capacity. And then once she makes a decision there, that's appealable to the D.C. Circuit, that's appealable to the Supreme Courts. Once they shake out what's personal versus presidential, then they can get to a trial. But that's probably not going to happen unless President Trump loses election on November 5th, 2024, because this case is going to go away if President Trump is reelected.
And this is why the process is so important. That's why, thanks again, for the extra time on the show today, because for people to look at this and say, oh, well, it's clearly a conflict of interest with Fannie Willis. Oh, it's clearly presidential immunity for President Trump. Well, it's clearly that. That's all, I get all that, right? But it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what you can prove in court. And that's why the devil is in the details. Just like with this ChatGPT thing where people are saying, hey, TikTok. This TikTok thing where people are saying, oh, I want to get rid of TikTok. But, we have to be very careful about what's in the fine print of all there. When it comes to these cases, the devil is in the details, because people were saying, oh, there's no way Trump could get past this because, hey, you look at a jury in Atlanta, Fulton County, they're going to be predominantly Democrat, a jury in D.C., predominantly Democrat, a jury in New York, predominantly Democrat, Florida, the Miami district. OK, maybe you got a chance there if you get some Cubans on board. But if there is a process that takes longer, right, that takes longer than the court trial to start, that exceeds beyond the election calendar, now you have the ability, as you say, to push this whole thing to the right of the election. The election's held first. And by the way, the only court that matters then is what? The court of public opinion. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. Look, for 250 years, we have decided who's the president of the United States through the American people on election day. The Democrats want to take Trump off the ballot. That failed after they've impeached him twice and indicted him four times for nine crimes and illegally, unconstitutionally gagged him. Here's the problem. Democrats do not trust the American people. And that's very obvious, because they do not want the American people to decide the president on November 5th, 2024. They want their Democrat judges and prosecutors and juries and these Democrat hellholes like New York, D.C., and Atlanta to decide the election. And that is backfiring on the Democrats. It's propelling President Trump back into the White House, just as we predicted and helped make happen at the Article 3 Project.
And that is something that I'm just going to have to go back to all of those people who told me, that picked up the phone and called Jack Posobiec and called Mike Davis and said, Trump is done. There's no way he can come back. That's why we have to stroke all these checks for this candidate and that candidate. And we've got to have this huge drawn out, primary, which I think all in, we're going to be told this thing came to about $250 million. That was vaporized. That was absolutely vaporized, all predicated on these cases. Now, guess what? The phone call charge has been thrown out itself. Fannie Willis's case, and we just have to say it, this thing is fatally wounded. It is fatally wounded. And the question isn't necessarily, will it die, but when it dies at this point. And so to all those guys, whether it's the managerial class in the South or the managerial class in DC, really just the managerial class across the entire country, you lost. You've already lost all of this. Mike Davis, tell people where they can go to follow you, where they can go to get more information, and if people want to support an actual America First constitutional project, how they can get on board.
Thank you, Jack. It's article3project.org, article3project.org. You can donate there, and all of our socials on there as well.
Look, folks, Mike Davis, God bless you. Thanks so much again. Folks, we need to understand the moment that we're in. We need to understand the situation that we're in as a country. We know that there are forces that are aligned against America First. We know there are forces that are allowing criminality to run rampant in our streets. There is an invasion going on at our border that's causing crises in healthcare, in education, in law enforcement, everywhere. People are shooting up the subways in New York City. That's why the National Guard has to be deployed down there. You know what? Where else are we going to put the National Guard? The National Guard's on the border. The National Guard's in the subways. Now you've got Venezuelan rape gangs going after nursing students in Georgia. Wake up. Wake up. We've seen what the policies and the wages of the Democrat Party and the Democrat leadership under Joe Biden are, and we're done with it. We're done with all of it. Sometimes you got to try something a little different to get back to normal, and that is why Donald J. Trump will win come this November. And we're going to be doing a very special event on Tuesday night at Mar-a-Lago with our next guest coming up after the break.
Working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live at Human Events Daily. We're down in West Palm Beach. We've got an event coming up Tuesday night, Mar-a-Lago, Catholics for Catholics. What it is the prayer for President Trump being held on the feast day of St. Joseph. I'm going to be there. Jim Caviezel's going to be there. Tim Ballard, General Flynn, Michael Knowles, so many great speakers. And, of course, it's all being put together by our guest, John Yep. John, tell us about the event, why it's so important to have this, and why that it seems like the people don't want us to have an event where we're praying for President Trump.
Well, here's the deal. The Catholic vote decides elections. The last three elections have really been decided by that. It's a very important voter block, right? So it is time, the moment has come to fully get behind President Trump and to do it in the way Catholics do it, with prayer. We're going to pray for this man. We're going to get to work, okay? Because we have in this country a situation where it's such a clear choice, right? You have one system, which is atheistic communism, represented by President Biden or whoever the Democrats throw up there, against President Trump and a Democrat republic, okay? And we should be hearing from the mouths of so many clergy and church leaders and Catholic leaders around the country that there is only one choice. And if that voice is not clear, then we need to pick up the slack, get out there, get behind President Trump, and make the case. He's the one, and there are human rights issues at stake, and we're going to show that in Mar-a-Lago on Tuesday, March 19th.
And it's so clear, because we must pray that he is successful in this animating contest against neo-Bolshevism, neo-Marxism. This is communism that we are up against. It is communism of a different flavor. It's actually cultural Marxism, but the end will always be the same. They don't want liberty and equality. They don't want equality at all. What they want is revenge, and they want the ability to tear down cities and to burn cities and to tear down and arrest and lock up and do away with the people who are successful and the people who are peaceful. And oh, by the way, the peaceful who are religious. What do these groups always come for first? It's the religious, and particularly the Catholics and the churches. That's why we need to make a stand right now.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that, too. They do always come after – their targets are always the same. You know, whether it's a new recycled form of communism, the targets are the same. the family, the kids, the right to religion. So we're going to lay out those cases very specifically, the way we see that. You know, the weaponization of government, we cannot forget. The DOJ coming after specifically Catholics, right? We have got to bring that up. We will show that. We're going to have Steve Friend, FBI whistleblower, elaborate on that. We're going to see the way that they've really come at hard on the abortion issue to the extreme, where now we have 10 states which are trying to enshrine the right to kill, whatever stage that unborn child in the womb. Okay, we're gonna remind Catholics that this is what's going on in this election cycle. Then we're going to see the way they're ultimately coming after the destruction of our border. And the first consequence, the people who suffer the most, are the kids. Child sex trafficking. That is why Jim Caviezel and Tim Ballard and then Tom Homan will be there as well to talk about that, to bring light to that issue. This is what's at stake, people, okay? And then ultimately we have the parental rights, the way they're experimenting with our kids. The state thinks that they have the right to enter our homes and tell our kids what gender they should be, okay? Independently of what the parents say. That's not cool. And we're in Catholics stand in the breach, and we are going to protect the family and the kids from that intrusion of the government. This is a very important strategic event. We have invited President Trump. I hear we have an incredible person going to lead us off that night. His name is Jack Posobiec, who's going to just lay out the case for how we've seen communism advance in the world and how it's coming in today. So it should be a great night. We've absolutely sold out. We actually had to up the numbers from Mar-a-Lago, which they were gracious to do so. And we'll see if the big man himself makes a stop on stage.
Look, we are going to identify the issue. We will amplify the solution. We will pray for victory, and we will be guided by the sword of St. Michael. The sword of St. Michael will be before us to strike down our enemies. People need to remember that this is spiritual warfare. It's taking place on the spiritual, metaphysical plane. John, that's why you and I went out to the LA Dodger Stadium last year. We led that massive rally that you put together. Bishop Strickland was there for that when they had the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, these drag nuns. It was disgusting. What an incredible event that was. This is why Catholics for Catholics is so important, because it's about getting out of the churches and getting into the world. And there's a lot of people that have, you know, kind of this, like, this. They get very scared. They get very worried when you actually start doing things to call for positive change in our world today. And I also have to say, just to remind everybody and let everyone actually announce, that Real America's Voice will be covering the prayer rally. We're going to get there. I'm not sure if it's going to be live or not yet, but there we will be able to broadcast this out so that people will be able to see what's going on. And so if you can't make it in person in Palm Beach, that of course you'll be able to follow along and pray along online.
Absolutely. And we're getting the hit pieces are coming already, which is a great sign that the B-17 is over the target. And we're going to keep dropping those bombs because we have to. We have an obligation for the gift that we have received in this country, and we have to be bold and clear on where we stand. And Catholics are behind President Trump.
Where can people go if they want to get in, if they want to get a ticket? I understand you have a couple of tickets left. As you say, you're expanding the event. Where can they go?
Go to CFORC.com and get your last tickets. We close ticket sales officially at 11 p.m. Eastern time tonight. That's it. This is your chance. So get on there quickly.
All right, 11 p.m. Eastern, folks. We have to understand this all takes place. If you're looking at Haiti, if you're looking at these Venezuelan gangs that are coming into the United States, if you're looking at the shootings on the subways in New York City, you must understand that all of this is happening because, as much as I hate to say it, we have to tell the truth. Demons are real. Demons do walk the earth. When the Senate came for Caesar with hidden knives, he was not alone. He was alone. He died alone in the shadow of greatness. Trump is not alone. MAGA has 45's back. We will always have his back. We will always stand in the breach. And on Tuesday night, we will be there at Mar-a-Lago praying for the sword of St. Michael to come down and lead us into this political battle. The sword of St. Michael will be there for all of us. Mark my words. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.